the second death. Then Death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Revelation 20, verse 14. If we see it as a blessing of Easter that the power of death and grave have been removed, and if the power of death and grave are called in the Bible the second death, then this second death deserves the beautiful and terrible name of Decision of Easter. Thus it is the crown on Easter. He who celebrated Easter may not ignore this consideration. The second death receives its name in contrast to the first death. Revelation 20, verse 14 reads, according to many manuscripts, "This is the second death, the lake of fire." Thus, the second death is simply identified with the lake of fire. The meaning of the second death is then a situation or condition of death. On the other hand, the word can also indicate the coming into the condition of the second death. This does not only appear from the fact that, along with the naming in the same verse of the second death, death and Hades will be thrown into the lake of fire. It also becomes clear if one pays attention to the parallel, first death, second death, first resurrection, second resurrection. The first resurrection is the transition of the believer in the hour of his death from the earth to Christ, while the second resurrection comes at the return of Christ. Now, resurrection refers in the first place to a fact of rising or standing up. But just as in Revelation 20, the word resurrection indicates, beside the fact of resurrection, what follows upon it, the condition of being resurrected. Thus, the term second death can also indicate both the coming into and the being in the lake of fire. Death and Hades, by these are meant the first death, that is, the departing from this temporary life and the entrance into Sheol or Hades, are thrown into the lake of fire as not belonging to the original creation plan of God. All that is thrown into the lake of fire is no longer included in the total cosmos. The second death means no longer being able to go up to the assembly of the cosmos. The songs of ascent are done away with, as far as it concerns the temple of grace, the house of particular grace and revelation. Thus, not only the going up to the temple of particular grace, but also what formerly was called the temple of common grace and revelation, are completely done away with. The second death is having lost not only one's divine, but also human nature, even one's creative aspects, and worse, being excommunicated from them. To be subjected from God's side to age-old cosmic connections, but being absolutely unable to make a single connection, not even a cosmic link in the broadest sense, is also the second death. To stand outside of all connections and to be outside of all covenants, a congregation brought together without being a voluntary assembly, not even the smallest assembly or communion of cosmic life, that is the second death. There is another point attached to this. Death and Hades have been tolerated by God for a time in the world. Indeed, they were intended for the lake of fire, because originally they were not intended for God's cosmos, but tolerated from the moment of the first sin to the moment of the second resurrection. Indeed, tolerated, for it was not to be defeated by violence, but by justice. Tolerated, for this world was the world of the vicious circle. Death and life, Hades and sunshine, they fought against each other. And they balanced each other. That was the world of common grace and of common judgment, the judgment that still could be called common, the judgment that also in natural life saw the curse being held back, restrained and prevented by common grace. If the second death means a definite excommunication of the first death and Hades, then this also means that the pattern of the first world, this present world, has passed away, 1 Corinthians 7, verse 31. In other words, Where the second death is present, there is no longer any common grace. Judgment is no longer restrained there, just as, in accordance to the same law, blessing and grace are irresistible in heaven. The law of common judgment and common grace are then void. They were only ordained temporarily in time. Everything is now particular. Everything is reality. In everything, one can now taste the quintessence of things. God's cups are poured out, undiluted, both in heaven and in hell. That is the strength of Easter. Whatever was diluted is brought back to its original undiluted state. Thus, everyone should take heed at the time of Easter. Since life has broken through, there is a separation and crisis, for judgment has come into this world.